what's been your experience at CES this year? How has it been the same or different than other years?
Well, it's always an orgy of gadgets and ideas. It's the same as last year in the sense that all the TV companies are still trying to push 3D.
Yeah.
So that's still a big hope for the industry. There's a lot of people out there who have 3D capable TVs, but I'm not sure they're fully using them with the glasses and all. Just a lot of TVs that are coming out now are 3D capable.
Right. So did you get the sense? I mean, did you see anything with 3D TV that made you think things might be different this year?
Well, this year, more and more people, those that are in the upgrade cycle on their flat screens, will be getting TVs that, with the addition of glasses, will be able to display 3D. The real question for the television industry is, how do you get people to actually want 3D? And the answer to that is content. And the content is simply not there yet. I mean, a lot of companies are talking about building 3D networks, and such like that, but until Hollywood starts putting their first-run 3D movies out for the consumer audience, you know, people were still going to be stuck with a couple year-old films and Avatar.
Right. And I guess ESPN is pushing a 24-hour TV or a channel with sports, but I guess it's still not, they're not going to have everything that they do in 3D.
No, not yet. But that's the direction that we need, that the industry needs in order to push 3D. That, of course, and games. Now, games are, you know, computer console games. Those could be and will be a big driver for 3D because these are products that are, you know, the model underneath most of the games is 3D anyway, so you just have to present it to the user, and they can be much more, made more enjoyable and more immersive when they go 3D.
What about the topic of cord cutting and people not kind of canceling cable? That's been a big talk over the last year, and finally there were numbers that showed it was going down a little bit. Were there more services for over-the-top that were shown that made you think one way or the other that cord cutting might get more pronounced?
What I'm seeing here tells me that cord cutting is following the hype cycle curve, which is that everybody's fascinated by the topic and everybody's talking about it, and then there will be a big crash as people realize that the hype doesn't really live up to the reality. And then when people start to realize that they can save some money and the content is coming their way, they'll start to do it again. So we'll see cord cutting actually start to grow. It is growing. I actually met somebody the other day who cut the cord and then spliced it back because he couldn't live without the content. And I would have done it myself if the shows I wanted, all of them were available over the top, but they're not. So we're stuck. A lot of people are stuck if they want to see certain content to doing it the traditional cable or satellite way. But there are interesting boxes. There are certainly great options to get content onto a television around the traditional mechanism. We've got Apple TV, Roku, Boxy, Google TV, although they're hamstrung, and other services that will get you great content. But you cannot replace at the moment, at least not easily, your cable box with over-the-top content, partly because the content companies are blocking it.
Yeah. And you don't get the feeling that you get the feeling there that the content companies are getting more hostile towards, like, let's say, Netflix and these other services?
More hostile. It's a dance. I mean, the war kind of became thermonuclear when Google launched Google TV and the content companies blocked the display of their website and their web television content on the Google TV, because the Google TV boxes are, of course, connected to televisions, and the content owners, fearing both loss of revenue and an increase in piracy, they say, blocked Google TV from displaying those. That made Google TV really not live up to its promise as a great way to integrate online and traditional content on your TV through their box. It simply doesn't work yet because it's being actively blocked.
Right. There was a story in Slate basically saying that, you know, CES was a big waste of time for everyone. And that
Farhan's story.
Yeah. What did you think about that, and how was it received there?
Oh, I haven't heard anybody talking about it here. We're too busy actually covering the show. And let me tell you something. I respect Farhan a lot. I mean, that was a fun story, and yeah, we all feel that way at some point when we're here for, you know, the 20th year, seeing you know, yet more TVs, etc. But let me tell you, we are CNET, CBS is streaming a ton of live content of all these press conferences and all the new gadgets, and our numbers, our traffic numbers, have never been higher. People love this stuff. Say what you will about it being shallow or ridiculous. The fact is, the mainstream population loves gadgets and loves technology, and this is the auto show, the Oscars, the Super Bowl, whatever, of gadgets. This is where it all happens, and you can see it all here. And it's just, it's fun. It might be shallow for a lot of people, but it's really fun, and people are really eating this stuff up. We've never had as much traffic. We never do during the year, and we have never had as much as we do now, as much traffic as we do at CES this year.
So do you think even, I mean, so maybe some of his complaints are that, you know, a lot of this is vaporware, it's not going to ever exist, but yep. Maybe the public in general doesn't really care, like just the fact that they can look at things and say, hey, look at the possibilities here. It's kind of exciting. It's like reading science fiction or something come to life.
Well, you know, it's like an auto show where you see these concept cars that never really come out. But what happens is they show the direction of the company that's behind them or the industry in general, and the things that are in those cars do come out eventually. Maybe not when they want them, everybody wants them to, but they start to come out there. And you also have to realize, of course, that like any business, the vast majority of the products or the ideas that we see here will fail. But it's evolutionary. They feed on each other. And, you know, I went to a bunch of press conferences here. Every single one of the press conferences I went to from an electronics vendor had a new 3D TV, generally several, and a new Android tablet. Now, the TVs may succeed, but many of these Android tablets are just not. But some of them will, and the best ideas from all of them will surface in the next generation. So you look here not just to say, oh, that product over there, product ABC, is going to be the one, but you look at what the cool stuff, the cool ideas, the cool features in that product, and you look at the features in this other product and this other, and you can see where we're going. And I'll tell you where we're going. It's pretty obvious. We're going to big push towards 3D, a big push towards, by the way, glasses-less 3D, although not this year. That's still developing. It'll be a couple of years, but we're beginning to see large 3D TVs that don't require glasses, which is huge. That's great, but it'll be a while.
Yeah.
In more internet-connected televisions, more Android phones, more Android tablets, and more entertainment in integration of electronics and electronic entertainment and communication into cars. These are unmistakable trends, and you see them here by the sheer number of companies that are trying to get on those bandwagons.